is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, simply saying thank you. Thanking you for all you are, all you've been, and that yet to come. Lord, we honor you and we praise your unending name. Father God, we just ask that you keep us, that you walk with us and talk with us, God, that you will guide us along this journey. Lord, we've walked through the Lenten season for the 40 days, God, and perhaps things that we wanted to do better, the things that we hoped to eliminate altogether, perhaps some of those things work, and then maybe some not so well, and some not even at all. But God, you get the glory in it all. Lord God, you see favor. You provide for us, and you just continue to help us all along the way. And for that, we just say thank you. Thank you for being a God of more than enough, God. The song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives. God, we just honor you and praise you on this Easter Resurrection Sunday, Lord God. We are so thankful you got up with all power in your hands. And so God, with that power, that abundance, Lord God, we're praying for healing and deliverance, for protection and provision, direction, and even correction. Because God, you know we won't get it right all the time. But simply because of your grace and those mercies that are new every single day, thank you. Thank you, God. Be in this worship service. God, allow what we do, Lord, to be praises that are acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you. The Bible says, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Friends, hear these words from Matthew, the 28th chapter. We're starting with verse 1. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, and he is not here. He is risen just as he said." We just sang it. Don't cry. Dry your eyes. He's not dead, the angel said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. The question before us today is, what do you have to say about the third day? We don't say it often, but many of us who learned it as children still know it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I hear some folks, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Friends, we won't talk about our belief in the Holy Spirit just yet. And though forgiveness of sins is one of the best gifts of the cross and this creed, that conversation too will wait. And so will the discussion of life everlasting. For now, on this beautiful Easter morning, we sit at the Father's right hand with Christ. For now, we lift our hallelujahs to the one who is high and lifted up. We worship the name that God placed above all names, for truly Christ is risen. For now, we stand with the Marys and the other women gazing into the tomb. For today, we race the other brothers to the tomb to get a glimpse of God's glory, to see, did it really happen like he said it would? Did he really rise up on the third day? Friends, I stopped by to tell you, he got up. That's my whole Easter speech today. He got up. And that's good news, church. That's good news for many. That's the most complicated part of our faith, though. That's the most difficult part of our creed to believe. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. And that's a stumbling block to some folks and foolishness to others. But to us who are called and who believe, Christ crucified is the power of God. We preach the resurrection and the life. The old church camp song would say to us, and those who believe in him will never die. We preach that he laid in a borrowed tomb, that he descended into the depths of hell, and wrestled death itself for our souls. That's not a fight we have to fight, because that's what he was doing on those 3 days. We preach that he lay in that grave all night Friday and all day Saturday, Saturday night into Sunday morning, and even before the sun could rise, God's son rose. We preach that early one Sunday morning, he got up. We preach Christ crucified, and not only that, we preach Christ resurrected, because Christ crucified leaves him on the cross, and that's not where he is. Christ crucified leaves him laying cold in the tomb, and that's not where he is. Christ crucified might leave him wounded and bleeding. It might leave him seemingly defeated on the cross. But Christ resurrected, that's another story. Christ resurrected has all power in his hands, even when we feel weak. Christ resurrected has conquered the grave, has defeated everything that tries to defeat us. Christ resurrected raises us up in that same power to live resurrected lives, to walk in victory, not defeat, to be the head and not the tail. Christ resurrected helps us be lenders and not borrowers, to heal and not hurt. When we preach Christ resurrected, we learn how to be those that build up, not destroy, to be more than conquerors. We preach the resurrected Christ not only with our words, but with our resurrected lives. Amen, somebody. With our resurrected lives. Our words say we believe in God the Father Almighty. Our words say we believe in Jesus Christ, his only son. Our words say he was crucified, dead, and buried. And on the third day, somebody say third day. Third. On the third day, he rose. Yes. But what do our lives say? What do our lives say? Someone asked the biblical scholar Marcus Borg if he believed in the resurrection. And he responded, believe it. I've seen it. Friends, I stopped by to tell you that I have seen the resurrection. I have seen the resurrection this year in my own life. When the doctor said, we see something. We see something. We need to take another look. We still see something. We need to take another look. And then they come back and say, it is well. I have seen the resurrection. I've seen the resurrection this week, as a friend my age has had 2 strokes in this week and yet stands up to praise the risen Savior this day. I have seen the resurrection. I've seen the resurrection when you have 2 car accidents in a matter of 2 months and still come in here with a glory hallelujah. We have seen the resurrection. I imagine that many of you, all of you, are living lives where you too can testify that you have seen the risen Savior. What do we have to say about that third day? Now, I know we don't always sound like Mary when she ran and told them, I have seen the Lord. But church, when we say he brought me from a mighty long way, we're saying, I have seen the Lord. We're talking about what the power of Christ can do. When we say, I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave. Oh, that's just me. I'm the only one. When we say, I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave, we're naming the power of Christ over death, disease, and all of our enemies. When we say, when I look back over my life and I think things over, we're calling to mind all of the times that Christ resurrected us. Do you believe in the resurrection? Have you seen the resurrection? If the angels sent you out like they did in this text, if Christ sent you out like he did in this text to go and tell the world that you had seen him, what would you have to say about the third day? How have you seen the resurrected Christ at work in your life? Acts 10 verses 39 and 40 say it to us this way. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God. But God raised him from the dead, and on the third day caused him to be seen. Caused him to be seen. Friends, I wonder, where have you seen him? Where have you seen him? Maybe you saw him resolving a workplace situation when he negotiated that promotion on your job. Maybe you saw him in your child's behavior change, amen? Maybe you saw him in your parents' behavior change and their ability to hear your voice for a change. Where have you seen him? Maybe in a health matter, a relationship matter, a financial matter, a court matter. I don't know, where have you seen him? I know you have seen him though. I know you have, because Acts tells us we are witnesses. And friends, witnesses have a testimony, something to say about that third day. Pastor, I'm praying about it. That's the most popular answer in this congregation. In case you didn't know, that's what we like to say when we're asked to serve, to witness or testify, when we're asked what your gifts are, how you could live as a witness in this world. I'm praying about it. Now look, it's Easter, I won't be messy. I'm not gonna say if you praying or if you ain't. What I am gonna say is time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. I'm just saying what the Bible says. That's verse 7. The angel tells the women, go quickly. Go quickly and tell the disciples. The angel didn't say, go and pray on it for a season. Go quickly. Go and take your time. Go quickly. It's cool if you decide that praying about serving is the same thing as serving. Go quickly and testify. Now, why do they have to move quickly? If we kept reading, we would see that the enemy is moving fast. Verses 11 through 15, the leaders pay the soldiers. The soldiers who were standing guard, they get paid to lie and say that the disciples stole the body. They had to move fast, the Marys, that is. They had to move fast because the enemies of God were moving fast. Because those who would lie about the Lord already had something to say about the third day. Friends, even now, the enemy is moving quickly. This Holy Week, you may have heard someone say, it's just a story. He was a good teacher, but he wasn't the Son of God. You may have heard someone say, religion is for the weak. You can make your own fate, your own miracles. You just need to work harder. Church, how many of you know the enemy is still afraid of what we have to say about the third day? The enemy still works to silence our testimony. The enemy is hoping that we won't take to heart the message of the cross, the promise of the tomb, the power of the resurrection. So much is on the line. What will be your testimony about the third day? I can hear somebody saying, but my testimony is my business. Why do I have to tell folks what God's doing for me? That's why we have pastors, to tell people about God. Amen, somebody. Friends, the best pastor to ever walk the face of the earth, the best pastor, Jesus the Christ. Some call him the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the great I am, whatever you want to call him, the best pastor there ever was, didn't do all the work on his own. He sent disciples out two by two to minister to others. He sent disciples out to go through all of the world, teaching and preaching in his name and baptizing people in his name. So this call that the text issues today to tell somebody about that third day, that's not just a call to ministers. Instead, that is a call to minister. That is a call to minister for all who believe in the power of his name. Friends, the word tells us that we overcome. We're going to make it through by the power of our testimony. So even today, somebody is waiting for the word of encouragement that only you can give. Someone today needs your wisdom. They need to learn from your mistakes and from your successes. That's one reason that Jesus said to the Marys as they worshiped at his nail-pierced feet, don't hold on to me. Yes, don't hold on to me, the John text says, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But don't hold on to him because the world needs to know him. Don't hold on to him because it's time for us to get off our knees and to meet someone's needs. Don't hold on to him because our resurrected lives call us to share a resurrected Christ. Mary could not hold on to Jesus, and neither could the church. Neither can the church, because it's not like Christ belongs to us alone. He got up. He's alive and is now no longer bound by time, no longer bound by geography or space or anything of this earth. He lives, and that says it all. And somebody needs to know that Jesus' resurrection means that death is not our destiny. Death is not our destiny. The angel of God says it this way in John's version. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? In Matthew 28, the angel says to the women, don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, we just sang. He's risen. That's the good news for someone today. The search is over. That's the good news. We can stop looking for what we need anywhere other than the hands of God, the heart of Christ, the help of the Holy Spirit. The search is over. We can stop trying to live abundantly with folks who only speak scarcity. We can stop speaking our vision to people that are spiritually blind. The search is over. Stop your search. Stop looking for the living among the dead. Come see where he lay. Friends, that was a good word from the angels that day. Don't look for the living among the dead. The angels of God were actively working in this resurrection account. They're actively working in our lives too. And I wonder what God's angels are doing for you today. What are they trying to say to you today? As you seek the Savior, what might be the message of God for you on this Resurrection Sunday? Are the angels saying, you got this. Keep going. You are doing great in God's eyes. Is God's message to them, you could show a tiny bit more gratitude? I'm proud of you, though. Is God saying, I'm here for you. Don't let so much time pass without talking to me. What are the angels saying today? I see you're scared, but the work I called you to, you can do it afraid. Matthew 28 and 8 tells us that the women left the tomb afraid and yet filled with joy. And they went straight to work fulfilling Christ's command. Friends, we don't have to be completely confident in ourselves. We can have full confidence in the one who paid it all. We can have confidence in the cross and still get to work with great fear and joy. We don't have to know how it all works out all the time before we take a faith step. We can sit in the discomfort of a holy Saturday like those disciples did that first Easter, not knowing how the story comes together or ends. We can sit in the unease of unanswered prayer and still serve and still get to work, still have our say about that third day. We can really lay our burdens down and trust that God is going to do what God always does. Sanach calls him a way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Maverick City Music says, you keep on making ways. You keep on making ways. And that's just how this text begins. We'll end at the beginning. God was making a way. Because no doubt those ladies, the Marys and the other women, were worried about the heavy stone. It had to be taller than all of them, wider than the three, four, five of them put together, had to be no way that even all of them together could move the stone. And still, they showed up. Surely they had a concern about how they were going to talk those soldiers into letting them into that tomb. Like us, they didn't have it all together. They didn't have all the answers, and still they knew they had work to do. The good news is God equips the called. And if God leads you to it, God will lead you through it. The presence of the angel of God assures us that God is on the scene, and that earthquake that happened is what made it possible for the stone to be rolled away. That angel assures us, that earthquake assures us that this is the work of God. In the Bible, an earthquake was seen literally as God moving on the face of the earth. An earthquake meant that God was walking, moving among us. The earth shook when Jesus died. The earth quaked on that third day when he got up, almost as if the earth mourned his death and then rejoiced in his resurrection. Almost as if the earth itself co-signed when Christ said, "It is finished," and then co-signed on his new beginning. And most certainly, it tells us that God is here. Friends, the good news is God is still moving in the earth. God is still moving in the earth. The good news is God is still opening tombs. God is still making ways out of no ways. God is still shaking the whole earth for our sake, for little old me, for little old you. Can you feel him moving? Can you feel him moving in your situation today? Can you see the stones rolling away? I wonder what God is shaking for your sake. I wonder what's changing or opening up for you, because God is on the scene. If you look closely, you can see the resurrection. If you walk faithfully, you can live the resurrection. Every step we take, every act of kindness affirms that we believe in God the Father Almighty, who loved the world so much that he sent his only son to die for us. Every single day we can do something that affirms that we believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord, who did not see divinity as something to hold on to. We believe in a Jesus that was already with God, that took off divinity, took off his holiness, laid it aside, and decided to put on flesh, to walk with us, to live with us, to die for us, and to rise again for us. Every day we can affirm that we believe in Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I wonder what your confession is today. I wonder what you have to say about the third day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.